بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue in the etiquettes of صلاة الجمعة. يقول رحمه الله: ويستحب أن يخطب على منبر. It is preferred to give the sermon from a minbar, raised pulpit. The reason being, of course, he said this because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give the khutbah on a minbar, as it was narrated from Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do so, and he used to get up on a minbar. Now, in nowadays, a lot of the times we done, yani, in the places in the schools and that there is no minbar. What do? We say if there is a small box you can stand on, or something you can stand on to see the people. Now, we spoke previously about the minbar. Some would say it has to be three steps, because the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only three steps. And we said and clarified that the minbar is not a ibadah. What is the ibadah is salat al-jum'ah and the khutbah. The minbar in itself, it's not a ibadah. So if you make it six steps, seven steps, three steps, as long as it is a minbar that is high pitch, you can see the people and the people can see you. So to restrict it to three steps and say more than three steps is a bid'ah, we said, of course, the minbar is a mean and it's not a ibadah in itself. So this is the correct opinion, wallahu alam. He said, فَإِذَا صَعَبَ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. When he ascends the minbar, he faces the people and says, Assalamu alaykum, to them. So that is what he does. He get up on the minbar and he says to them, Assalamu alaikum, because also it was narrated from Abd al-Razzaq and others that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do so. ثم يجلس إلى فراغ الأذان. Then he sit here. Then he sits down until the end of the adhan. He sits the imam until the end of the adhan, and this is as al-Bukhari narrated from السائب بن يزيد رضي الله عنه قال كان النداء يوم الجمعة فإذا جلس الإمام على عهد النبي وأبي بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما فلما كان عثمان وكثر الناس زاد الثالث على الزوراء. Here he said that Bukhari narrated that السائب بن يزيد رضي الله عنه said that when the call of Friday, when the Imam used to sit, meaning they used to make the call for Friday when the Imam used to sit on the minbar on the time of Abu Bakr, on the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar. فَلَمَّا كَانَ عُثْمَانَ وَكَثُرَ النَّاسِ زَادَ الثَّالِثُ عَلَى زُوَرَى. He said, when they are, the people have increased, he increased the third one for the people, or the people who come. So here he said, يعني زاد الثالث يعني عثمان رضي الله عنه, he increased a little bit in his sitting waiting for the people to come. ثم يقوم الإمام فيخطب الخطبة الأولى. Then the Imam stands up and he gives the first khutbah. ثم يجلس بين الخطبتين. ثم يجلس meaning after the first khutbah he sits for the second, he sits a little bit for the second khutbah. ثم يخطب الخطبة الثانية يعني ثم يقوم الإمام فيخطب. Then the Imam stands up and gives the khutbah after the adhan is over. Then he said ثم يجلس, after he finishes the first khutbah he sits. Then ثم يخطب الخطبة الثانية, then he gives the second khutbah. And the دليل, what it's been narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he said قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب قائما ثم يقعد ثم يقوم كما يفعلون الآن. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give the khutbah standing, then he would sit, then he would stand up as they do today. Ibn Abd al-Barr rahimahullah said that the consensus upon that the khatib must give the khutbah standing unless if he is not able to stand. If he has to sit for sickness or something, he can give the khutbah sitting, but he must stand if he can, and this is something with the consensus as it being narrated by Ibn Abdullah. ثم تقام الصلاة فينزل فيصلي بهما ركعتين. Then they make إقامته بالصلاة. He descends and he prays with them two ركعات with the consensus, and this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do. يجهر فيهما بالقراءة فيصلي بهم ركعتين. طيب, so they make the إقامة, then the Imam descends and he prays it with them two ركعات, and this is with the consensus. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do that. And also the consensus was narrated by Ibn al-Mundhir and many other scholars who narrated the consensus. يَجْهَرُ فِيهِمَا بِالْقِرَاءَةِ. Also he read in them with loud voice. He raises his voice. And this is something being narrated from generation to generation to us. And also there is ijma' that the Prophet ﷺ used to do this. Of course, it is narrated also by, by the ulama that it is, as I said to you, with the consensus mutawatir. فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ مَعَهُ مِنْهَا رَكْعَةً أَتَمَّهَا جُمُعَةً. Whoever catches one rak'ah with him, meaning the imam, may finish it as jum'ah. So what he's saying here? Here he's saying, if you catch a rak'ah with him, meaning if you come to the salat and the imam in his second bowing, you can, if you join the salat, you call salat al-jum'ah. Because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is agreed upon, and we narrated this hadith before, من أدرك ركعة من الصلاة مع الإمام فقد أدرك صلاة. اتفق عليه, agreed upon. Whomever catches a rak'ah with the imam, he has caught the salat. وإلا أتمها ظهرا. Otherwise, he should finish it as zuhr. So if the imam said سمع الله لمن حمده and he raises his head and you join, then you continue for rak'ah. It's no more jum'ah because you missed the jum'ah. The imam has what? Raised his head from the ruku'ah and you missed the jum'ah. We spoke, of course last week I wasn't here, but the week before we spoke about the stern warning of coming late to the jum'ah, and we said the jum'ah has five times. Tayyib, and we explained that, and we said if you don't come within those five times, the last one you offered an egg, then what? You come just to drop the obligation, but the reward, you burnt it out, it's gone. وَكَذَلِكَ إِن نَقَصَ الْعَدَدْ أَوْ خَرَجَ الْوَقْتِ وَقَدْ صَلَّوْا رَكْعَةً أَتَمُّوهَا جُمْعَةً وَإِلَّا أَتَمُّوهَا ظُهْرًا. He said, in the same way, if the number of attendees decreases below the minimum required, or the prayer's time passes, if they have already prayed one rak'ah, they should finish it as Jumu'ah, otherwise they should finish it as Zuhr. So what he's saying? He's saying the number of people, if it drops. The Imam here, how many, rahimahullah, Ibn Qudama said to the minimum you need for Salat al-Jumu'ah? Remember when we spoke? What did he say? He said 40, isn't it? You forgotten, Adam? You forgotten? طيب, here when he said وَأَنْ يَحْضَرَهَا مِنَ الْمُسْتَوْطِنِينَ بِهَا أَرْبَعُونَ. Remember when he said 40? So Imam Ibn Qudama رحمه الله, he said 40. Let's say you're praying Jum'ah with 40, and one of them decided to walk away. It drops now. According to Ibn Qudama رحمه الله, it's not Jum'ah anymore, because you don't have the enough number. So what happens? You pray Dhuhr. He said, if you are already within the rak'ah, what does it mean? Yeah, he said, you started the salat, وَقَدْ صَلَّوْا رَكْعَةً أَتَمُّوهَا جُمْعَةً. Meaning, you started the salat upon what? Jum'ah. You done the first rak'ah, and you are started with the second rak'ah. Let's say two, three people walked out. It dropped below 40. According to Ibn Qudama, you continue Jum'ah. Because you started the ibadah on the correct condition. Losing that condition, that prerequisite in the salat now, it does not harm. But if you didn't start the ibadah, changes to dhuhr. We said the number was what? Three. Three minimum, you can do salat al-jumu'ah. طيب. Here, same thing. If one or two people decided to walk away on you, you have you and another person, or you by yourself, then you don't pray jumu'ah and become sore. You understand? Unless you started the salat and you started the salat al-jumu'ah, you're giving the salam and you look, you say, man, where are these guys are gone? خلاص, you pray Jum'ah. That's it. You don't get up to continue. ولا يجوز أن يصلى في مصر أكثر من جمعة. What does it mean? Of course, Al-Misr here doesn't mean Egypt. Here he said, of course, it is not permissible to conduct more than one Jum'ah prayer in a town unless there is a need to more than one. Here he said, إِلَّا أَن تَدْعُوَ الْحَاجَ إِلَى أَكْثَرِ مِنْهَا. Except if there is a need for more than one. First, he said, in a city or in a town or in a town, yani inside a town, let's say Liverpool, you're not allowed to pray more than one Jumu'ah. That's it. Everyone must go to that place. You can't also have a three Jumu'ah, meaning 1 12 o'clock and 1 1 o'clock and 1 2 o'clock. You need to have one Jumu'ah. Because the purpose of Salat al-Jumu'ah to gather all the people at one place at one time. He said here, طيب, the dalil here is what? That the companions and the tabi'un and their students did not do more than one Jumu'ah in one town. That's it. And also here, Ibn al-Mundhir in al-Awsat narrated إسناد حسن يعني عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال لا جمعة إلا في المسجد الأكبر الذي يصلي فيه الإمام. There is no Jum'ah except in the great mosque that the Imam prays in. We explained to you previously that there is something called المسجد, مسجد و مسجد الإمام, or the main masjid of the city. That main masjid of the city, this is when you do the Jum'ah. All other masajid, the musallas around the street, those are not for Jum'ah. You don't do Jum'ah in them. Everyone goes on that day to pray the Jum'ah in the main masjid of the city. Okay? And here you yusalli fihi al-imam, the imam mean imam al-muslimin. Yani al-khalifa comes and prays, or amir al-mu'mineen of that area comes and pray in that masjid, and sometimes he gives the khutbah himself. Then of course we don't have this, all of this neither in the Muslim countries nor here. So what do? We say the best of your ability, the biggest place to have Jum'ah in, you'll have Jum'ah in it. طيب. Here he said, إِلَّا أَن تَدْعُوَ الْحَاجَ. Except if there is a need, like what happens here. Meaning here we don't have this big masajid, we have small masajid. طيب. Small masajid will not fit everyone. That's why we have to need to multiple of Jum'ah in the same city or in the same town. You have 2-3 musallas and everyone running with Jum'ah. That is one good sign. Because why? The masajid are full and there is no room. People normally pray on the steps. That's one. This is a hajj. Also, and sometimes like in the city, they have little musalla that it doesn't fit all the people. So they dissect it to 3-4 Jum'ah. Then this is for Hajj, meaning a Jum'ah 12 o'clock, a Jum'ah 12:30, a Jum'ah 1 and Jum'ah 2, 3, 4 khutab and salawat according to the need of the people there. طيب. And now as you see the Muslim, yani in the Muslim countries also all the masajid are full on the day of Jum'ah. So to say everyone go to a masjid, it will not fit all the people. Now also the issue, sometimes some of the masajid are controlled by extreme Ahlul Bid'ah, or you go to Salat al-Jum'ah and you don't get nothing. You just go and you sit there, you fall asleep. You don't learn nothing, you don't do anything, and it's all the minbar is used to collect money for the community, or collect money for individuals, or to praise a certain za'im, a boss, or an emir, or a leader, or agenda, a certain agenda. You want to attend the khutbah that you can understand from a khatib that's speaking about the current affairs of the ummah, or khutbah that are relative to what you do. That's why sometimes multiplying the places of khutab is good because you need to learn the knowledge and the minbar, especially nowadays. Because see, as we said previously, the basic principle was khutbat al-jum'ah to be short and the salah to be long. But now, because of in nowadays the problems we have that people don't attend lessons, don't attend salat, you need to give them a bit of a more information and a bit of more learning, and also to enlighten them in some issues that are happening to the ummah. So the only time you can use that is at the time of salat al-jum'ah. Not turning away from the sunnah is just trying to find the best way to can deliver the message to the people. Here he said, إِلَّا أَن تَدْعُوَ الْحَاجَةَ إِلَىٰ أَكْثَرِ مِنْهَا, and we explain that. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ لِمَنْ أَتَى الْجُمْعَةَ أَن يَغْتَسِلْ. And now the etiquette for you to go into Salat al-Jum'ah. He said, it is recommended for the one who attends Jum'ah to perform major ablution or ghusl. It is, here he said, it is mustahab. And that is the opinion of majority of the ulama. Some ulama said it is wajib, obligatory to have a ghusl. And why? Because the collection of the hadith, the collection of the ahadith and the action of companions, it leans towards it is wajib, obligatory to have a ghusl. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he tried to combine the two opinions. He said, if you're a person who is with a strong hygiene, that you smell, or if you have, or you have a job that requires a lot of physical work and that make you smell, then it is wajib on your behalf to have a ghusl. But if you're a person who works in the office and that, you don't have to have a ghusl. It's a sunnah on your behalf. And it's also narrated that Uthman radiallahu anhu once came to Salat al-Jum'ah without ghusl, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked him, what delayed you? Umar radiallahu anhu got upset from him, and not like you, not a person like you who come to Jum'ah without ghusl. Al-Muhim, he said the hadith in Bukhari عن سلمان رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغتسل رجل يوم الجمعة ويتطهر ما استطاع من طهر ويدهن من دهنه أو يمس من طيب بيته ثم يخرج فلا يفرق بين اثنين ثم يصلي ما كتب له ثم ينصت إذا تكلم الإمام إلا غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى. He said here, صلى الله عليه وسلم, a man have a ghusl on the day of Friday, and he purify himself whatever he's able to, and he put whatever dhum, يعني some perfume, or from the tib of his house, or whatever perfume in his house. Dhum means some tib is like a cream. طيب. He said, ثم يخرج لا يفرق بين اثنين. He get out from his house, and he does not push between the people. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّ مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. He comes to the masjid, he does not push in the masjid or go through the people. He just come in, find a place for himself, and then he prays whatever Allah has written for him to pray. يعني you come and pray as much as you want to pray before the imam ascend. ثُمَّ يُنصِتُ إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ الْإِمَامِ, that he listens attentively when the imam speak, except that Allah has forgiven all his sins between this Friday and the previous Friday. This is narrated in Bukhari. وَيَلْبِسُ ثَوْبَيْنِ نَظِيفَيْنِ, and he wears two clean garments. طيب, يعني you wear your clean garment. طيب. Here he said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَا عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ لَوْ اشْتَرَى ثَوْبَيْنِ لِيَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ غَيْرَ ثَوْبَ مِهْنَتِهِ. He said, what is with one of you to buy two garments for Friday other than the clothing he wears for his work and his needs? So you have to have something for Fridays. You wear on Fridays. وثبت عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن أبي سعيد أنهما قالا سمعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من اغتسل يوم الجمعة واستاك ومس من طيب إن كان عنده ولبس من أحسن ثيابه ثم جاء إلى المسجد ولم يتخطى رقاب الناس ثم ركع ما شاء له الله أن يركع ما شاء الله أن يركع ثم أنصت إذا خرج إمامه حتى يصلي كانت كفارة بينه وبين الجمعة التي قبلها. He said, أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أن أبي سعيد الخدري إن حديث that is collected by Ibn Hibban. طيب, he said, a man does not, he said, they both said, we heard the Messenger of Allah saying, whomever has ghusl for the day of Jum'ah, and he cleans his teeth with the siwak, and he wears a perfume from whatever he owns, and he dresses in the best of clothing, and he comes to the masjid, and he does not overstep the necks of people, and he bow and prostrates to Allah, whatever Allah wills for him, and he listens when his imam comes out until he prays, it becomes an expiation for all his sins between this Friday and the Friday that is before. So here the hadilla are clear. ويقول ابن قدامة رحمه الله ويتطيب ويبكر إليها. يتطيب is to put perfume. And يبكر إليها, and he comes early as possible. Here he said the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and we said this hadith before. من اغتسل يوم الجمعة, whomever has غسل the day of Jum'ah, ثم راح في الساعة الأولى فكأنما قرب بدنه, and he goes for in the first hour as if he offered what? A badana. A badana means a camel. ومن راح في الساعة الثانية فكأنما قرب بقرة, and whomever goes in the second hour as if he offered a cow. ومن كان ومن راح في الساعة الثالثة فكأنما قرب كبشا أقرا. When he goes in the third hour as if he offered a kabish that is aqran. Kabish mean a sheep with horns. وَمَنْ رَاحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الْخَامِ الرَّابِعَةِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ دَجَاجًا. And whoever goes in the fourth hour as if he ordered a chicken. وَمَنْ offered the chicken. وَمَنْ رَاحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الْخَامِسَةِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ بَيْضَهُ. And whoever goes in the fifth hour as if he offered an egg. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامِ حضرت الملائكة يستمعون الذكر. When the Imam comes, the angels go to listen to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means khalas, no more reward. What you come for is dropping the obligation. We spoke last time about this in details, we're not going to repeat it. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبْ لَمْ يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ يُرْجِزُ فِيهِمَا. He said that if you come and the imam is on the minbar, do not sit until you pray two rak'at. You briefly pray, but quickly, don't take too long, and don't raise your voice, of course. You just come and pray two rak'at. Here he said that Bukhari and Muslim narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu, قَالَ دَخَلَ رَجُلٌ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ وَالنَّبِيُّ يَخْطُبْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man entered in the masjid on the day of Jum'ah, and the Prophet ﷺ is giving a khutbah. فقال صليت. He asked him, did you pray? قال لا أدنت. قال لا. No. قال قم فركع ركعتين وتجوز فيهما. Get up and pray two ركعات and briefly pray and do not يعني take your time. ولا يجوز الكلام والإمام يخطب. And he's not allowed to speak while the Imam is giving khutbah. والله, we have brothers answering the phone. I normally use the trick. You know what I do? I just go silent. I'll be halfway through the khutbah, I just look, and I look at him. And then everyone in the masjid. Actually, I've done that once. The guy who looked at the people, he kept on talking, walked away, knocked out of the masjid. He said here, وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْكَلَامُ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبُ لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي رواه البخاري ومسلم عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قلت لصاحبك أنصت يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فقد لغوت. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith collected by Abu Huraira, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you would say to your friend, listen on the day of Friday and the Imam giving the khutbah, you did commit lagh. You did commit lagh. Why? Because it is forbidden to do lagh at the time of Friday. Lahu here, it's an idle talk in Salat al-Jum'ah. So you do not say anything unsit or anything to your friend in Salat al-Jum'ah. You have to remain quiet and not say anything in Salat al-Jum'ah. طيب, what about if someone is talking too much and you want to silence him? You can do gesture by telling him, putting your finger on your mouth. And this is if it excessively But the imam can correct him and silence him and say, يا أخي اتق الله. إلا الإمام. Yeah, he said, except the imam. The imam, he is allowed at whilst he's giving khutbah to talk to some the specific people for the maslaha. Because Hadith Jabir, what did he say to the man? When he came, he said to him, did you pray? He said, no. He said, get up and pray. So the imam can cut off his khutbah and speak to certain individuals to control the people or to direct them to do things. For example, the speaker has not stopped working. He says, Ya Ahmed, get up and fix the speaker. Ya Abdullah, get up and raise the voice of the microphone. Or put down whatever it is necessary, he can say. أو من كلمه, or the one who talks to the imam. Let's share somebody stood up and start talking to the imam. He can, and the imam can answer him back, as the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, قال أصابة الناس سنة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, السنة يعني a drought happened at the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فبينما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في يوم جمعة قام أعرابي. At the time where the Prophet ﷺ giving a khutbah on the day of Friday, a Bedouin Arab stood up. فقال يا رسول الله هلك المال وجاع العيال. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, our wealth has been perished, meaning our sheep and chicken and all that we have, our sheep and cattle, it's been يعني destroyed. وجاع العيال, and our children now are starving. فادعوا الله لنا. Call and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فرفع يديه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم raised his hand. وما نرى في السماء قزعة. يعني the companion said, and we can't even see a small patch of a cloud in the heavens. فوالذي in the sky. فوالذي نفسي بيده ما وضعها حتى ثار السحاب وامثال الجبال. He said, by whom my soul in his hand, he didn't even put his hand down, صلى الله عليه وسلم, except clouds like mountains have come. ثم لم ينزل عن منبره حتى رأيت المطر يتحدر من لحيته. He didn't even come down from his minbar until I see the rain dropping from his beard صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب. Now, what about, for example, if like there is security guards and all of that, can they talk to the people to control the crowd and that? These people come as an exception. Yani, they come as an exception on Salat al-Jum'ah, they try to control the crowd, or they guards on the doors or something. These people will control the traffic or whatever, or the traffic of the people. If, for example, a big chef visitor coming to some masjid and it's packed with people and they need guards to control the cars and control the people, then it is allowed for them to speak at the time of Friday. Also, the exception is, for example, if someone recording the khutbah, طيب, he is allowed to follow up this recording. Like, for example, we have brothers who are recording the khutbah or broadcasting on the internet or for any reason. طيب, these people are allowed, or they work in TV channels and they recording. These people are allowed to get up and fix the camera and record and put the flash on. And even if they have to communicate with one another to make sure, for example, the speaker stopped working, the microphone stopped working with the camera, to speak to one another to correct this, this is allowed because of the maslaha and spreading the da'wah, which is a great maslaha. Now, a brother asked the question, what about the second adhan for khutbah al-jum'ah? We understand that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there's one adhan. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, one adhan, Abu Bakr one adhan, and Umar one adhan. When the people increased, he added the second one. The third one, yani the third Khalifa radiallahu anhu, added another adhan. Of course, some of the mashayikh, they say, this is now is a bid'ah, it should not be done. We say, of course, this is not done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to say it's a bid'ah is a big call. Because Uthman radiallahu anhu, he made this, and his ijtihad, and he did this second adhan because the great number of the people. The answer back for that, they say, well, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he didn't do a bid'ah رضي الله عنه. It was a need for it, and Uthman رضي الله عنه, he put it for a need. Today there is no need. There is enough microphones, people hear the khutbah from everywhere, and there is no need for it. So it is a bid'ah and has to be removed. If the need arises, then we will put another khutbah, another adhan. Of course, the fair argument about this, what the mashayikh say, the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best, first, we don't call it a bid'ah to begin with. Secondly, it was done, yes, for a reason. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's one of the four khulafa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i rashidina al-mahdiyina min ba'di. Follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the four caliphs, the rightly guided after me. Uthman from them, and that is a sunnah of Uthman radiallahu anhu, then we are ordered to follow it. Says the Rabbidah. طيب, we say Uthman can be wrong. We say, yes, Uthman radiallahu anhu can be wrong, but all the companions were there. Ali radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud. All the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Umar, and we know Abdullah ibn Umar very stern and strict about the Sunnah. طيب, all of them, they were available, and they heard about this. Not even one of them complained to Uthman radiallahu anhu and said, what are you doing? Yet when he collected the Qur'an, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Uthman, when Umar ordered Abu Bakr, or when Umar told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to collect the Qur'an, Abu Bakr initially, what? Didn't want to do it. Yet in this, no one companion disagreed with Uthman radiallahu anhu. So far, if we say the ulama of Islam seen it for a reason, which is Uthman did because the Medina grew and there was a reason and the reason doesn't exist, why the ulama of fiqh from the beginning to end, all of them, not even one of them, he said that in the big masajid, in the big cities, you can do two adhan, and in the small cities where there is a masjid in it, you do one adhan. Is in the small towns where there is 20 houses in and one adhan, everyone would hear it? But they never said there's supposed to be one adhan. They said leave it to adhan. That shows you that none of the ulama of our salaf radiallahu anhum ajma'in, not even one of them said it is what? It's a bid'ah, or the reason behind it because people could not hear, hence the small cities or the small towns that have few houses, they should do only one adhan and the rest what? Two adhan, if it is a big city and you need one. That shows you that reason was overlooked and dropped by the ulama. That means whether there is microphone or there is no microphone, actually it is accepted and it is sunnah to do the two adhan. Bas. Full stop. So, it can't be called a bid'ah because that is the sunnah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is first thing. Second thing, the reason that some scholars said that it was a need for it and now there is no need for it, we say this reason all the scholars of the Ummah did not see it. They didn't see it as a reason. And that's why they never said, if you are in a small, tiny, teeny town where you have four or five houses and a masjid, you must do one of them, you can't do two because there's no need for two. They all agreed on the two adhan. Bas. Khalas. So, we need to be careful of that, and we have to be careful of calling it bid'ah because you could be accusing some of the great companions. And I call it is a bit of an extreme opinion. So, if you enter a masjid that has two adhan, and you heard the first adhan, and you're there sitting, get up and pray to rak'at. Say, what pray? Of course. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, between the two adhan there is two rak'ah. So you pray two rak'ah and you see. Okay? So let us pay attention to that. Till today, from the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, till today in Medina they do two adhan.
this unnecessary rigidness and hardcore about the issue. It's like the issue when we spoke about the Taraweeh of Ramadan, 8 or 20. It is unnecessary. So, and the door is open and there is no issue. Less. طيب, enough is enough about this topic.
يقول المؤلف رحمه الله باب صلاة العيدين. Chapter, the Salat of the Two Eids. طبعا يا إخوة, the two أعياد, عيد الفطر وعيد الأضحى, they have a special time. What is the special time? One of them ending a great ibadah, which is ibadah of siyam, and the second one ending the great ibadah, ibadah of hajj. طيب. So the ummah celebrates these 2 days with the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the salat, with the dressing nicely, with chanting and getting all together. That is the Eid. That is the Eid. Now, and also in Eid al-Adha, the people sacrifice the sheep, the udhiyah, and feed the poor and the needy, and everyone feels the celebration of Eid. And also in Eid al-Fitr, there is the fitrah, that a small amount of wealth are giving to the Muslims, so they can also, the needy finds his food for that day. He doesn't have to look for food, him and his family, and so he can concentrate on the happiness of that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he found the Muslims having 2 days where they play and joy and carnivals and things. He said, "What are though these 2 days?" He replied and said, "Yeah, there are 2 days we used to celebrate in them in Jahiliyyah." He said, "Inna Allah qad abdalakum bihima khayran minhuma yawm al-fitr wa yawm an-nahr." He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed swapped you 2 days better than them, yawm al-fitr and yawm an-nahr." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swapped all the a'yad that is not Islamic a'yad with the two Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And here, you all probably heard this before from me in khutab and lessons and from other dua, al-ibdal means to swap. Meaning when you do ibdal, you give something and you take something instead. You do not do swap and you keep both items. No, you give one item and you take another item. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, abdalakuma, Allah has swapped you, mean to give up what you have and you adopt the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, and it's finished. The concept of Eid, it has the linguistical meaning of it is something repetitive. Eid, min al-i'ada, and repetition. So when you appoint a day and you celebrate, or you do a mourning on that day, and wailing and weeping on that day, you make it the day of Eid. So not necessarily it means festival and a festive season. So once you appoint a day and you gather the people to it, and it becomes something that regular occurrence, whether it's Eid al-Umm, Mother's Day, Eid Eid al-Ab, Father's Day, Eid al-Secretary, Eid al-Bank, Eid al-Shaytan, so it is all repetitive days. It's supposed to be, this is all from the bid'ah, and that we has nothing to do with it. The concept of Eid and showing festivity and celebration, it's a religious concept. Meaning, it's an amr yata'allaq bid-deen. It's something to do with the religion, and it is not something to do with custom. Even people try to convince you and say, "No, Eid, ya akhi, there's something custom. Our custom, we deem Mother's Day." We say, "Ya akhi." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his house, there were young girls and chanting. Abu Bakr heard that, and he said, "The fruits of shaitan in the house of Rasulullah." He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, he said, "Da'ahuma, let them. Inna li kulli qawmin Eid wa hadha yawmu Eiduna." Indeed, for every qawm, every nation, there is a Eid, and this is our Eid. So here clearly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam marked that the concept of Eid is related to the deen. It is not something to do with nationality. And we have to always reflect, not take the things as simplistic. For example, the national days that celebrates a nation and celebrates martyrs, like in Lebanon we have Yawm al-Shuhada, the day of the Shuhada, the day of martyrs. They're not Shuhada. They deserved what Jamal Basha did to them. They were traitors. They betrayed the Khalifa. He was Amir al-Mu'mineen.
and he has a bay'ah in the necks of the Muslims, and the Muslims supposed to abide to him. Not go work with the France, and work with England, and work with the allies against Amir al-Mu'mineen. So what if he's not an Arab? No, in the name of what? In the name of Uruba. And then Jamal Basha, rahimahullah, he collected them, all of them, and he hanged them, all of them. And when he put one of them, he was a sheikh with a turban. Not the normal turban, not the, you know, the red turban with the Lebanese one, the white thing around it. Yeah. When he came up to him, he showed him the picture of him going. You know how the French custom, you throw the hat in the air? At certain, when they do show, they all throw. And he was throwing it and saying, Viva la France. Yani, long live France. He showed him the picture, the Mukhabarat, the Islamic, the Mukhabarat of the Khalifa took a picture of him. They said, he said, is this what you're doing? Viva la France, Mahak. And he pushed the chair from under his feet and halak. Yani, may Allah destroy them. That in Lebanon, we're made to say, they taught us in history, his name is Jamal Basha al-Jazzar. Jamal Basha, the butcher. Alhamdulillah. He butchered the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. They taught us that those people are martyrs, and we used to chant in them at school and have a day off. All this, our Muslims should remain and stay away from them. Apart that it is a bid'ah, the bid'ah al-Eid, also it has shirk and believing in things that are not Islamic and go against Islam and supporting indirectly the enemies of Islam and instilling in your mind hatred towards the concept of al-hukuma al-Islamiyya and Islamic government. Okay? This is just a small thing. Also, the national days also represent an ideology behind it, and it is not as simple as just how we share all one country and we all lovey-dovey. No, it has far more problematic issues with the warla, al-wala and bara. The allegiance is based on nations, not on la ilaha illallah, not on the deen. So that's, we have to understand these concepts. Of course, here, yani, it's coming up. It is one of the ayat that the people within Islam, they have established, which is Eid al-Mawlid. This is, inshallah, I'll have a specific lecture for it one day, which is the Ubaidiyun, the Ismailites, which is now they're killing the Muslims. They're the one who invented the Mawlid. Yani, their grandchildren are the Druze and the Nusayriya and all those, the Ubaidiyun. They're the one who invented the Mawlid and some of the celebrations of the middle of Sha'ban. You see, this doesn't exist much in the Arabic countries, but it exists in the non-Arabs, where they celebrate the middle of Sha'ban. Or they celebrate al-Isra wal-Mi'raj on the 27th of Rajab, which has no reality, or that it was 27 of Rajab. Allahu A'lam what it is. Tayyib. And some celebrate different things. Our ayat, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, these are the two ayats the Ummah to celebrate. يقول رحمه الله وهي فرض على الكفاية. طيب. It is a communal obligation. إذا قام بها أربعون من أهل المصر سقطت عن سائرهم. If at least 40 of the residents of a town attend, then it is not obligatory for the rest to them. Here it is fard ala al-kifaya. Why? Because it is min sha'air al-Islam al-zahira. It is from the apparent rich rites of Islam and rituals of Islam. Like what? Like the adhan. The reason, Allahu A'lam, it is prayed in the open so the people can see and gather up everyone, because it's a day of Eid. So it is fard kifaya, so every Muslim community must make sure that there is Salat Eid established every time there is Eid. Otherwise the whole community is sinning. Here he said if 40 people do it, khalas, it drops from the rest of the community. It drops from the rest of the community. Now, some ulama have said it is obligation to pray it. It is obligation to pray it. The dalil, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Pray for your Lord and sacrifice. Here they said, yani like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others, they said this is the dalil that it is obligatory, wajib upon every Muslim able to pray it, to go out and pray it. And also they compile all the adillah the other adilla like. The Prophet ﷺ even told the women and the girls inside their khudur, the young girl and even the menstruating women and the children, everyone to come out for Salat al-Eid. This is to show that it is important and an obligation. So that is a great group of ulama said that, and some group of ulama said it is sunnah. Why? The dalil of a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, what did Allah obligate me with? He said to him, he obligated you with 5 daily salawat. He said, do I have to do anything apart from them? He said, no. He said, wallahi, I'm going to do them and nothing more. And then he, all the issues, zakat and siyam and so on. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Aflaha in sabar. Successful if he is truthful to what he promised he's going to do. Meaning, meeting the obligations. And that's why the ulama uses this dalil as a master dalil. As a master dalil to say there is no salat obligatory on a person except those 5 salawat and salat al-jum'ah that comes, because it has a separate dalil. Apart from that, there are no obligatory salat on anyone apart from the 5 daily salat and salat al-jum'ah. طيب. But some ulama, they said, no, as you prove in Salat al-Jumu'ah, in a separate dalil, there are also separate adillah that approve the other salawat. But as you see here, it is debatable. The dalil here, the dalil in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Bedouin, when he mentioned the obligation of 5 salawat, he said, the Bedouin said, فَقَالَ هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرَهُنْ. Do I have to pray other than those 5 salawat? قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَن تَطَوَّعَ. No, except that you are to do tatawwa'. And also, as I told you, that some ulama said it is obligatory because the ayah فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, pray to your Lord and sacrifice. The reality is, as I said, it is a sunnah, it is not an obligation. It is not obligation. He said it is 40. Why he said 40? Who's the brilliant brother who can tell me why he said, rahimahullah, 40 for Salat al-Eid? You need 40 for Salat al-Eid, the minimum, otherwise it cannot be established. Exactly, because the opinion of Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, Salat al-Jum'ah, how much you need, Ya Ali? 40. Qiyasan upon Salat al-Jum'ah, he said Salat al-Eid, you need 40. The reality, what did we say minimum? 3. So we said minimum for Salat al-Jum'ah is 3. Hence, Salat al-Eid also minimum is 3. And then it can be established. يقول رحمه الله ووقتها من ارتفاع الشمس قيد رمح إلى الزوال. He said, its time is from sunrise until Zawal, the sun reaching its zenith or the meridian. So it's time from sunrise. Yani from what time? Time of sunrise. So yes, min wa waqtuha min irtifa' shams, from sunrise until Zawal, which is time of what? Just right before Dhuhr. This is Salat al-Eid. Yani you could say around the Duha time. Any time you can pray it, it is accepted. طيب. Here, the dalil, Yazid ibn Khumayr an Abdullah ibn Bisr radiallahu anhu, yani Abdullah ibn Bisr radiallahu anhu, qad, inna kunna qad faraghna as-sa'a, yani qad sallu salat al-eid, wa thalika hina at-tasbih, ay waqt al-duha. Here he said, we just finished salat al-eid at the time of tasbih, which is the time of al-duha. So this is when the time of it. And this is collected. This is yani collected by Al Bukhari ta'liqan, and others have connected it like Imam Ahmed. So here he said, "وَوَقْتُهَا مِنْ إِرْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ, from the sunrise till the zawal." وَالسُّنَّةُ فِعْلُهَا فِي الصَّحْرَاءِ, and the sunnah is to do Salat al-Eid where? In Sahra, in open. Now, unfortunately, yani this is because of the capability. We call it Eid in the park. We go do it in the park. In reality, you can't do it in the park. It is the best and the closest, but that park is not the open. You're meant to go outside the city. You with me or not? The closest way outside Sydney itself, go out, and when it comes to the open spaces, Yani the Prophet ﷺ never used to do it in an open space within Medina. No, he used to go outside Medina. Outside, way out. Outside of Sydney's metropolitan city. Of course today, yani the brothers, they do it in the park because that is the closest possible way. Because if you're going to put everyone in the bus for 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, you'll get the Zuhr time from the traffic, and you will pray, and by the time you come back, your day is finished, exhausted, you're going to sleep. So that's why the most feasible thing is to do it in the park. But in reality, here he said, وَالسُنَّةُ فِعْلُهَا فِي الصَّحْرَاءِ لِمَا رَوَى بُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمْ عَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدِ الْخُدْرِي رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج يوم الفطر والأضحى إلى المصلى فأول شيء يبدأ به الصلاة in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أبي سعيد الخدري said, رضي الله عنه, said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to go out on a day. فأول شيء يبدأ به الصلاة, the first thing he start with the صلاة. So he used to go to the place that is designated for Salat al-Eid, which is out in the open space, which is outside Medina, and the first thing he would start with, as-salat. So what does he do first? The salat, which is, then he will do the khutbah afterwards. طيب. وَتَعْجِيلُ صَلَاتِ الْأَضْحَى وَتَأْخِيرُ صَلَاتِ الْفِطْرُ. He said, have the Eid of Adha prayer early and the Eid of Fitr late. So, what do you do first? He said, تَعْجِيلُ الْأَضْحَى صَلَاةِ الْأَضْحَى عِيدُ الْأَضْحَى, to do it hastily. يعني, what does it mean? To do it so the people have the time to do the sacrifice after the prayer of the Imam. صَلَاةُ الْأَضْحَى, why we do it early? يعني, for example, let's say sunrise today, 7 o'clock. So Salat al-Eid, by the time people get there, we'd say we give them 45 minutes. Quarter to 8. And we start quarter to 8. Sah? Why? So the people can go out and do what? And sacrifice their sheep and distribute the meat before Zahar, and where the people need to have that meat for lunch. Wallahi, when we used to do it in Lebanon, it was amazing. Here, you all don't have that. You haven't even tried it. We used to buy a kabsh. Right, two kabsh, and we'll feed it 2-3 days. Normally my auntie used to have a big house and a big room, which is a bit, they slaughter in it. So they used to slaughter the sheep and cut it up, and we used to get enjoy it. My dad used to take the liver and all this stuff, and he takes them home and have them as a breakfast while we're wrapping it in bags, and then we drive them to the poor people and knock on the door. Allah irda alaik. And so Eid had a taste back then. Here, yeah, Eid is dry, nothing. Toys R Us. Yeah. Then they buy them, and then next day they all break them. And then we used to be, by time Asr comes, we're all walking limping. You know why? Because the shoes is new, and used to what? Rub and give us blisters on the back of the foot. So by Asr, we all have a new clothing and a pocket full of money. Subhanallah, look at the Eid these days. المهم الحمد لله. He said the sunnah is ta'jeel al-adha, so the people can go and sacrifice their sheep. And to delay the fitr. So if 7 o'clock is the sunrise, so we'll do the fitr 8:30 or quarter to 9. The sunnah to delay it. Why? For enough time for you to distribute zakat al-fitr. To give the fitr out to the people, zakat al-fitr. So you can have enough time, because after the salat it is not accepted. After the salat, it is not accepted. So here he said, and of course there are a couple of hadith in that which is a da'if, but logically it's correct. But by the end of the day, in a country, in the Western countries, or the country where the Muslims are minority, it's according to their ease and according to the time and according the best way they can do it. Sometimes they book the park and they're limited for a few hours, and so on and so forth, according to what the administration and organization of the Eid require. He said, وَالْفِطْرُ فِي الْفِطْرِ خَاصَةً قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ. He said here, وَالْفِطْرُ فِي الْفِطْرِ خَاصَةً قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ, meaning, here that, and to eat breakfast before the prayer, specifically in Eid al-Fitr only. The sunnah is to eat something before you go out. In Eid al-Adha, to eat after the salat. In Eid al-Fitr, before you go out, so you can feel what? The difference. Feel the difference. And also, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. عن أنس كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغدو يوم الفطر حتى يأكل تمرات. He never used to go on the day of the Fitr, Eid al-Fitr, before he would not go before he eats a few dates, and this is with the consensus, it is sunnah to do so. ويسن أن يغتسل ويتنظف ويتطيب. Now he's talking about the sunnah, what do you do? He said it is recommended to have ghusl, to clean oneself, wear perfume. So the sunnah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is being narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, al-ghusl yawm al-adha wa yawm al-fitr. So it is sunnah to do ghusl yawm al-adha and yawm al-fitr. طيب رواه ابن أبي شيبة في مصنفه. فإذا حلت الصلاة تقدم الإمام فصلى بهم ركعتين. When the salat, hence when the time of the prayer comes, the imam moves forward and leads them in praying two rak'at. So the imam moves forward and he prays two rak'at for the salat. طيب. Here the dalil, hadith of Bukhari and Muslim from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam صلى ركعتين لم يصلي قبلهما ولا بعدهما. He prayed two rak'at. He didn't pray before them or after them, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim. He said بلا أذان ولا إقامة, without an adhan or iqama. So you pray salat al-eid, there is no adhan for it nor iqama, and this is with ijma'. And the hadith of Muslim عن سمر بن جندب قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العيدين غير مرة ولا مرتين بلا أذان ولا إقامة. He prayed with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم more than once and twice without أذان and إقامة. So this is how the salat he started. He said يكبر في الأولى سبعا بتكبيرة الإحرام وفي الثانية خمسا سوى تكبيرة القيام. He says, Allahu Akbar in the first rak'ah seven times, including the opening takbir. So, how does he do it? He says in reality six plus one, seven. He raises his hand normally, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It is seven times. Now, if he misses one, he adds one or subtract one, don't panic, no problem. Don't go into a panic mode. Some people find, oh, wallah, he did eight, he did nine, he did six. Khalas. That's it. It's a sunnah. As for raising the hands, some scholars, they say you don't raise the hands except in the first one, and the rest you just utter it. What has been narrated authentically, that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to raise his hands in every takbirah, he raises his hand, and that is the correct opinion. And the matter is a strong difference of opinion amongst the ulama. But the first one definitely raising the hands, the rest of the six. The difference, but it's been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that he used to raise his hands. Some companions were narrated from them, they will do takbir seven and some of them six and some of them actually nine. And that was narrated in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba and others, that they increased and decreased in the number of the takbirat. He said, وَيَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ مَعْ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ وَفِي الثَّانِيَ خَمْسًا سِوَى تَكْبِيرَةِ الْقِيَامِ. He said, and in the second one, five times, not including the takbir of raising from the prostration of standing. That mean what? يعني when you raise from the prostration, what do you say? Naam, Allahu Akbar. طيب, that is not counted. Then what do you do? Five takbirat. He said, so it is five. Because it is narrated also from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith collected by Imam Ahmad, hadith يعني can be Hassan. He said that he did 12 takbirah, seven in the first one and five in the second. Now, He said, وَيَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ مَعْ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرًا. We explained that. He raises his hand with every takbira. And Al-Bayhaqi, he narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu used to raise his hand in every takbira. And also, he raised his hand, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, in every takbira. And that hadith also about Ibn Umar raising the hand with every takbira in Salat al-Eid, also it is used in Salat al-Janazah. It is there. Also, we'll talk about it again when we speak about Salat al-Janazah. But so far, يعني Umar radiallahu anhu, he raised his hand, and this is collected by Bayhaqi. But the ulama spoke about this isnad, that whether it's authentic or not. But what is being affirmed, that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu in Salat al-Janazah, he used to raise his hand with every takbirah, and that is Salat al-Eid is similar to the Janazah in the sense that there is more than one takbirah in it. He said, rahimahullah, thumma yaqra'u al-fatihata wa surah. He said, then he recited, wa yahmadu Allah wa yusalli ala al-Nabi bayna kulli takbiratayn. He said, and he praises Allah and sends a blessing on the Prophet between each of the two takbirah. So, when he raised his hand between every takbirah, he said, Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. This has been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in Sanad that is Hasan. So, وَيَحْمَدُ اللَّهُ اللَّهَ وَيُصَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِيِّ بَيْنَ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرَتَيْنِ. Let's see what he said here. In 355, he said, this is reported from Ibn Mas'ud. No sound reported from the Prophet ﷺ was narrated in this regard. One may style silence, since there is no proof that the Prophet did otherwise, or one may do what is indicated above, since one of the most honorable companions did it, and he may have learnt it from the Prophet ﷺ. So here he's saying, and this is what it's been narrated, as I said, from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah, between each takbirah. But there is nothing narrated apart from this, nothing narrated that you say, and they say you remain silent in between the takbirah. He said, ثُمَّ يَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةَ وَالسُّورَةَ. Then he reads the Fatiha and the Surah, and this is with the ijma' of the Ummah also. Hadith collected by Sahih Muslim عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه. He said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to read in Salat al-Eid with سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, and also in Al-Ghashiyah, and also in another hadith عن أبي واقد الليثي, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to read in Al-Qaf والقرآن المجيد, and in واقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. So you have two narration, one with the A'la and Naghashiyah, and the second one with Qaf, and the second raka'ah, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. طيب. ويجهر فيهما بالقراءة. And he also raises his voice with the قراءة. Why? Because of the previous hadith. How would they know that he recited Al-A'la wal-Ghashiyah if he did not raise his voice? طيب. So it is obvious. فإذا سلم خطب بهم خطبتين. الإمام here, Ibn Qutama, he said, if he once he gives the salam, he gives two khutab. The matter of two khutbah or one khutbah is a great matter of difference of opinion amongst the ulama. He said, فإذا سلم خطب بهم خطبتين. Because it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do khutbatain in Salat al-Eid, in a hadith collected by Ibn Majah, and it's da'if. This hadith is da'if. It is, يعني, Ahlul Ilm only consensus that to do a Salat and then a khutbah. But and also, it is a consensus that the Salat comes before the khutbah. Here he said, also, some ulama, ya ikhwa, said it is to be done khutbah واحدة, because there is nothing to prove that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did khutbatayn. Al-Uthaymeen, he said, rahimahullah, من نظر في السنة المتفق عليها في الصحيحين وغيرهما تبين له أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يخطب إلا خطبة واحدة. The Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, whoever looks in the sunnah that is agreed upon in the صحيحين and others, he would see clearly that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did one خطبة. ولكنه بعد أن أنهى الخطبة الأولى توجه إلى النساء ووعظهن.
After he finished the first khutbah, he went to the women and he gave them a talk. So, it looks like how many? Two khutbah. But in reality it is one khutbah. Because the women are far away and they cannot hear the Prophet ﷺ. He said, فَإِنْ جَعَلْنَا هَذَا أَصْلًا فِي مَشْرُوعِيَةِ الْخُطْبَتَيْنِ فَمُحْتَمَلٌ مَعَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَصُحْ لِأَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ وَخَطَبَهُنَّ لِعَدَمِ وُصُولِ الْخُطْبَةِ إِلَيْهِنَّ. He said, if we're going to use, شوف the ulama how they speak, they don't just go, أعوذ بالله. No, ulama. He said, if we're going to use this as a asl, as a principle, we're going to use this as a principle, meaning the Prophet ﷺ did two khutbah, one for men and one for women, so we continue with the khutbatain. He said, this is a possibility to be a strong dalil. You understand? He said here, but it is not really strong or correct. And it's a possibility to be a dalil, but it's not a strong dalil. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, if we see the reason why he gave the khutbatain, that he went to the women because they cannot hear him. So he had to deliver the khutbah to them. So he would go down and speak to them to inform them the information. He said, وَيَحْتَمِلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْكَلَامُ وَصَلَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُخَصِّصَهُنَّ بِخَصِّيصَ وَلِهَذَا ذَكَرَهُنَّ وَوَعَظَهُنَّ بِأَشْيَاءٍ خَاصَّ بِهِنْ. He said, and it is also possible that they heard what the Prophet ﷺ said, but he wants to advise him specifically, a specific advice for the women, and in specific issues, and direct the speech specifically to the women of the believers. So here he said, "This is here." He said, "ولم أقف على قول صريح لأحد من أهل العلم في أن المشروع في العيد خطبة واحدة." He said, "I haven't seen a clear proof or a saying from the ulama that the mashru, what is allowed, is one khutbah." So the matter is, as you see, many ulama would say Salat Eid, how many khutbah? Two khutbah. You see where is the difference? Two khutbah because the Prophet ﷺ gave one khutbah for the men and one khutbah for the women. In reality, if we look behind the reason, yani, let's just say today there is a speakers and everything and they can hear the khutbah and you can advise them from the minbar, then khalas, the purpose has been delivered and it is one khutbah. Also, how do you start khutbat al-Eid? Sometimes the khatib starts with khutbat al-Eid, with takbirat al-Eid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yani the correct opinion, there is nothing authentically narrated that khutbat al-Eid to be started with takbirat al-Eid. Khutbat al-Eid starts like any other khutbah. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. طيب. And then he said here, فَإِنْ كَانَ فِطْرًا حَثَّهُمَا عَلَى الصَّدَقَةِ. And if it is the fitr, he encouraged them to give sadaqah. وَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ حُكْمَهَا. He said, if it is Eid al-Fitr, he will encourage them to give, he should encourage them to give charity and explain its ruling to them. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْأَضْحَى بَيَّنَ لَهُمْ حُكْمَ الْأُضْحِيَةِ. If it is Eid al-Adha, he explained to them the ruling on sacrificing the animal. So he would direct them what to do, as the Prophet ﷺ explained to the companions, أحكام الأضحية في عيد الأضحى. He explained to them أحكام الأضحية في عيد الأضحى. طيب, here he said, والتكبيرات الزوائد والخطبتان سنة. He said, the additional takbirs and the two sermons are all سنة. التكبيرات الزوائد, يعني the extra takbirat, it is سنة according to the consensus of the ulama. طيب, to make takbirat al-Eid, and also the khutab is what? The two khutab is sunnah. وَلَا يَتَنَفَّلُ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ وَلَا بَعْضَهَا فِي مَوْضِعِهَا. He does not pray any sunnah prayers before or after the Eid prayer in the place for it. So, in the place there, you do not pray any salat. طيب, so whomever wants to sit, let him sit, and whomever wants to go, let him go. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Sa'ib, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I attended the Eid with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he finished the salat, he said, inna nakhtub, we do give a khutbah. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ لِلْخُطْبَةِ فَلْيَجْلِسَ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ فَلْيَذْهَبَ. يعني, here, Abdullah, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we give khutbah
Now after the salat, we're going to leave the khutbah. Whomever likes to stay, let him stay. And whomever likes to go, let him go. And this is conducted by Abu Dawood. And some scholars, he said, it is obligation to do khutab al-eid and to attend them and to listen to them is fard kifayah. Here, ذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى وجوب خطبتي العيد. Some group of ulama, they say it is obligatory to do what? خطب العيد. The birth خطب. And also, وإلى أن حضورهما واستماعهما فرض كفاية. And also, to sit and listen, it is also sunnah. Mean at least has to be what? 40 according to Ibn Qudama and 3 according to what we studied. At least that much to stay. طيب. And also the ulama who said this opinion, they said, so the people at least can get the maw'idah and the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something to take with after this salat. And this is wallahu a'lam, yani the maslaha is in it and the closer to be correct in this matter. He said, and when we said he doesn't do the salat in the place of Eid, he doesn't do any extra supererogatory salat before it or after it, because it's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Ibn Abbas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam salla rak'atayn, he only prayed 2 rak'at and he didn't pray anything before them or anything after them. Some other group of scholars said that it is not makruh to pray before it or after it for someone other than the imam, but it is makruh for the imam because some companions, it's been narrated from them, they have prayed in the place of Eid and in other places. And this is also the correct opinion, that if someone wants to pray 2 rak'at, or want to pray 2 rak'at after, or whatever, it is allowed for them, and nothing to say they're not allowed to. The action of the Prophet ﷺ in this specific incident, because he is the what? The imam then. ومن أدرك الإمام قبل سلامه أتمها على صفتها ومن فاته فلا قضاء عليه ومن فإن أحب صلاها تطوعا إن شاء ركعتين وإن شاء 4 وإن شاء صلاها على صفتها. He said, ومن أدرك الإمام قبل سلامه أتمها على صفتها. He said, and whomever catches the Imam, whomever joins the Imam before he makes the sleep, finishes it in its prescribed form, and there is no qada. He who misses it, it is not obligated to make up. He who misses it is not obligated to make up. So here, if you miss it, khalas, you don't need to make up this salat because it is what? Fard kifaya. Fard kifaya. طيب. فَإِنْ أَحَبَّ صَلَّاهَا تَطَوَّعًا إِنْ شَاءَ رَكْعَتَيْنَ وَإِنْ شَاءَ 4. If he likes, he can pray 2 rak'at or 4 rak'at. Because Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated in, because Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَنْ فَاتَتْهُ صَلَاتُ الْعِيدِ فَلْيُصَلِّ 4. Whomever misses Salat al-Eid, let him pray 4. And this is Rawah Ibn al-Mundhir that narrated this. And some ulama said it is da'if. The correct opinion, ya ikhwa, if you missed it, you missed it. If you missed it, you have missed Salat al-Eid. You can't pray it 4, nor you can't pray it 2. And this, what is being narrated from Ibn Mas'ud about this, it is weak. He said here, وَإِنْ شَاءَ صَلَّاهَا عَلَى صِفَتِهَا. If he likes, if he wishes, he prays. He said, if he wishes, he may pray 2 or 4 rak'at. And he may pray it in the form prescribed for it. طيب. Meaning with the additional takbir. So if he wants, what he can do, he can pray that 2 rak'at exactly how the imam prayed it with the 7 takbir and the 5 takbir. He prays it exactly like that. Yukabbir bihim tayyib.
Chef, so that's when he comes late, yeah?
If he misses it. If he misses it totally. But if he comes late before the taslim, he prays 2 rak'at with the imam. The imam gives the taslim, he stands up and continue normal 2 rak'at. طيب. يعني, as I said, some ulama, they said, there is no qada for Salat al-Eid على صفتها, the way it is prescribed, because nothing being confirmed in the sunnah of any of the companions to pray it by themselves. He said, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ التَّكْبِيرُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْعِيدَيْنِ وَيُكَبِّرُ. طيب, it is mustahab to do takbir in لَيْلَتَي الْعِيدَيْنِ. What does it mean? The night of Eid, meaning after Salat al-Maghrib, is if the moon sighted for al-Eid, then it is mustahab to do the takbir from the sunset of the last day of Ramadan. Let's just say you did the 30 days Ramadan. This year was 30. So definitely what? Ramadan 30 days. You finish the 30 days. Definitely you don't need to cite the moon. وَلْتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلْتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You complete the عِدَّةَ خلاص. Then you start the takbir. From Salat al-Maghrib until Salat Eid al-Fitr. Until the Imam stands on the minbar to give khutbat al-Eid. This is where you cut off the takbir. طيب. Here he said, وَيُكَبِّرُ فِي عِيدِ الْأَضْحَى عُقَيْبَ الْفَرَائِدِ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ يَوْمَ عَرَفَ إِلَى الْعَصْرِ مِنْ آخِرِ أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ. He said, you do takbir for the adha. From what time? After every obligation from Salat al-Fajr on the day of Arafah. On the day of Arafah, after the Salat al-Fajr, you start the takbir. طيب, إلى العصر, until the Asr of the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq. Here, he said, وَذَهَبَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى أَنَّهُ يُسْتَحَبُّ فِي أَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ كَامِلَةِ. And some ulama said, in the 10 days of the Hijjah, all of it is mustahab to do the takbir. طيب, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and to mention the names of Allah in known days, which is what days? The days of Dhul Hijjah. He said, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. أَيَّامُ التَّشْرِيقِ, it's the 11th, 12th, and the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Here in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ, which are the days here? أيام التشريق. أيام التشريق. And this is the correct opinion. The correct opinion is the takbir in أيام التشريق, the 3 days of Eid. The 3 days of Eid to do the takbir عُقَيْب after طيب صلاة الجماعة, as he said here, وَيُكَبِّرُ فِي الْأَضْحَى عَقْبَ فَالْفَرَائِدِ. شوف هنا, هم يقول عقيبة, هون يقول عقبة. Two different prints. وَيُكَبِّرُ فِي الْأَضْحَى عَقْبَ الْفَرَائِدِ, and in عيد الأضحى after the فريضة, في الجماعة من صلاة الفجر, in the جماعة from صلاة الفجر, on the day of Arafah until the عصر of أيام التشريق. Why he said in the last day of تشريق عصر? Because Maghrib time next day. And this is the takbir al-muqayyad. This is restricted takbir after the salawat. There is unrestricted takbir which is in the fitr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And so, this takbirat mutlaq, هذا أيام الفطر, you start on the street, in the markets, everywhere you make the takbir. طيب, until the imam stands on the minbar on the day of Fitr. But in the day of Eid, it is restricted to after the Salat. But the takbir al-mutlaq, you can make takbir anytime, يعني between you and yourself, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, and so. طيب, there is the takbir mutlaq. طيب. And this is with the consensus that this is mashru'. وقد ثبت عن جمع من الصحابة أنه يبدأ من بعد صلاة الفجر يوم عرفة إلى ما بعد العصر من اليوم الثالث من أيام التشريق وهو اليوم الثالث عشر. طيب. Here he said, the Shaykh رحمه الله, يعني سمع علماء, يعني this is here, the علماء, they said these are the days, as I mentioned. Some group of علماء said that this takbir, not only for the one who's praying in jama'ah, also for the one who's praying munfarid. Meaning you miss the jama'ah for Salatul Dhuhr. What do? You pray Dhuhr and you do your takbir by yourself. You see, not only in jama'ah, only if you are munfarid, you can do the takbir for Salat late. Tayyib. After the Salat, tayyib. Because there is no dalil for it to say it has to be in jama'ah. Also, it is allowed for the woman and for the traveler. He said, إِلَّا الْمُحْرِمْ فَإِنَّهُ يُكَبِّرُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الظُّهْرِ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الظُّهْرِ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ إِلَىٰ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ مِنْ آخِرِ أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ. طيب, he said, except the muhrim. طيب, he said, here in the matter, إِلَّا الْمُحْرِمْ, except the one who is in the state of ihram. He starts to takbir from Salat al-Dhuhr on the day of Nahar, which is the day of Nahar, the day of sacrifice, the day of Eid. إِلَى الْعَصْر مِنْ آخِرْ أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ, till the Asr, from the last day of the 3 days of Tashriq. Why? Because in that time he's busy with what? تَلْبِيَ لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. Remember, Al-Muhrim is not praying Eid. You're thinking the Muhrim is sitting in the Haram praying Eid. No. The Muhrim, what will he be doing? He leaves Mash'ar al-Haram, Muzdalifa, and on his way to stone the Jamara. True or not? He, and sometimes he might even not get to the Jamara till, if he really leaves Fajr and he's a walker, till about 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, you see. So here he's saying, this is when he starts of Dhuhr. He said, another group of scholars that say, Al-Muhrim yushara'u lahu min hini ihramihi, الجمع بين التكبير والتلبية في دبر الصلاة المكتوبة وفي غير ذلك من الأوقات. Another group of scholars said, that the muhrim, he is allowed to do from the time of ihram to combine between التكبير and التلبية in at the end of every salat and other times. يعني he can do the تلبية and the تكبير in both of them, the muhrim. And after the salat, nothing wrong if he prayed Fajr, for example, in the Mash'ar al-Haram, or prayed in Muzdalifa, the Fajr, and he made Takbirat al-Eid. What would be wrong with that? And then when he's walking, he made the Talbiyah. He said he can combine them. Because here he said, Ibn Mas'ud, when the Prophet ﷺ did his Hajj, he said, خَرَجْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَمَا تَرَكَ التَّلْبِيَةَ حَتَّى رَمَى جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَخْلُطَهَا بِتَكْبِيرٍ أَوْ تَهْلِيلٍ. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, I went with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, he never stopped or neglected the talbiyah until he stoned Jamrat al-Aqaba. You know, when you finish from Muzdalifa, you go to Jamrat al-Aqaba. You stone the Aqaba. He said, until he stoned the Aqaba, except, yani, the talbiyah is going until he stones the Aqaba. Except that he will mix the talbiyah with takbir and tahleel, which is takbirat al-Eid. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. You see? وَصِفَةُ التَّكْبِيرِ شَفْعًا. And the form of takbir is in pairs. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. Because this is what is being narrated from many companions, radiallahu anhum, as it is being narrated by Ibn Mas'ud. طيب, وهذا التكبير يشرع أن يؤديه المسلم منفردا ويستحب رفع الصوت. It is this takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it is sunnah to do it by yourself. طيب, and to raise your voice with it so others can hear you. وَإِن كَبَّرَ شَخْصٌ فِي مُكَبِّرِ الصَّوْتِ يَوْمَ الْعِيدِ فَلَا حَاجَ فِي ذَلِكَ. On the day of Eid, somebody has a microphone and he uses it, there is no issue that he make takbir and people follow him, because this is what? From what? From raising your voice with the takbir. From raising your voice with the takbir. طيب. But the sunnah is everyone does his own takbir. Meaning, yeah, some would go on the microphone, they sit in the masjid, he goes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and everyone says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That is not the sunnah to follow him. The sunnah, each one he makes his own takbir. But because, honestly, if the voice is very loud, you can't control it. You find yourself like the birds, you follow the flock. طيب, so you follow. But the reality, the sunnah is, even if there is one on the microphone, you do your own takbir, he does his own takbir. But it is not wrong for him to Do it on the microphone. What is not the sunnah, if we collectively do it at one voice. That is what it is not the sunnah, because it is not narrated from the companions and some ulama, يعني like Al-Uthaymeen and others, they said it is to be finished by the blessing of Allah, Kitab al-Salat. We move next week to Kitab al-Janaiz, the book of the funeral. Hopefully, by the end of Ramadan, we'll finish chapter of funerals, and we'll do يعني the chapter, we do the zakat between Ramadan and Hajj. We do the chapter of zakat. Inshallah, after Hajj, we start the chapter of marriage and divorce and financial transactions. Whilst I've finished chapter of i'tikaf in Bankstown, inshallah, will be all on my website and on Kalamullah and on the net. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.